Close.
Okay.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on what is commonly referred to as a special events ordinance. The actual short title is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles Roman numeral 4, 6, 10, 11, 11A, and 12 by amending sections 115-20, 115-22, 115-39, 115-69, 115-71, 115-77, 115-79, 115-83.2, 115-83.5, 115-85, and 115-87 to amend and clarify certain short-term special events as permitted uses in the AR1, GR, B1, C1, CR1, and M districts. Mr. Lawson and Mr. Robertson and Ms. Cornwell will give short presentation this morning, and after that presentation, we'll have an opportunity for council to question them on their presentation and what exactly the ordinance means and how it will be implemented. And at that, after that point, those questions are asked, we will open up the floor to any public comments. For public comments, you're required to come to the front, stand at the podium, give us your full name and address, and there is also a place for you to write your name and address. Please do so. Okay, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. I'm joined today by Ms. Cornwell and Mr. Robertson, as Mr. Moore indicated. I want to tell council at your desk there is a paper copy of today's presentation. I believe we have paper copies back in the back of the room of our presentation. In addition, Council, there is a letter or more along the lines of a white paper or a memo from former Planning and Zoning Director Mr. Lawrence Lank giving some historic perspective on the county code as it relates to this issue. What we're going to do today is provide an overview, both legally and maybe historically, of the administration of the county code sections that we are here to address today, termed special events. And we thought that would be a good way to address this issue, both in letting you know how the staff are administering the code today, as well as adjusting the code for the future. There is some heavy legal discussion, perhaps, relating to the words of the code and also the purported ordinance. But if you have any questions of Mr. Robertson or Ms. Cornwell or myself, please feel free to interrupt. So with that, Mr. Robertson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lawson. Just a quick overview while we're on this first slide. We've had some discussions on this in the past, and the Planning and Zoning Commission's had its public hearing, but I thought it would be kind of good to go back a little bit through this process. As you know, County Council asked staff to review the special events provisions in our code based on issues with how it's drafted, how it's been applied in the past. I want to be clear that Council never gave any direction to ban anything. And what is drafted does not ban anything in any way, shape, or form. The drafted ordinance is intended to keep in line with what our current code states, and it's intended to keep it simple and easy and without a lot of steps and red tape. Now, one of the things that I wanted to do just right from the beginning, we had a letter, and I think it came in at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it sort of highlights what I'm talking about. There was a concern about the ordinance, and somebody had stated that the proposed ordinance is fraught with legal concerns or infirmities, and that it places far too much discretion in the hands of one individual, the county planning director, and would impose unduly burdensome regulations upon routine business activities that have never been problematic in the past. I point that out because that's the way our current code reads, is that the director has the authority to approve these special events, and that's what proposed states, that the planning and zoning director has the ability to approve special events. So there's not a drastic change between what we have currently in our code and what we're proposing. I also want to be clear, because I know there's several members of the American Legion and the VFWs and groups of that sort, and I certainly want to thank everybody in the audience and members of those organizations for their service to our great country. This proposed ordinance does not ban or limit events at VFWs, fire halls, or similar organizations, churches, that sort of thing. It does not do that. It does not affect events within a town. We don't have jurisdiction over zoning with any within any towns or municipalities. In fact, what it does, similar to what we have now, it gives a property owner four different ways to get approval for what they want to do on their property. Going through those quickly, a director-approved special event, a director-approved tent, a conditional use for event, or a Board of Adjustment-approved tent. So there's multiple ways to get approved for what you want to do with your property. And if we could go to the next slide. So this is a brief outline of the current county code. There's two separate sections of the code that have been historically referenced. One deals with tents, which as you'll see here is 115-23, and one deals with special events, which is the one we'll mostly focus on, which is 115-22. I want to point out something that we've just referenced, these two sections of what's in the AR1 section of the or district section of the code. With regard to tents, this same language appears in all districts, all zoning districts under our current code. With regard to special events, this same language appears in the AR1, GR, B1, CR1, C1, and M districts. We didn't restate it seven times. We just used the AR1 version, but so hopefully you get the idea. Section 115.23, again from the AR district, talks about special use exceptions for the Board of Adjustment, again in all districts, and it allows tents for special purposes for a period exceeding 3 days require a special use exception. However, if approved by the director, a tent for special purposes may be utilized on a parcel no more than 3 times in a calendar year. So that deals with tents. And I'll give some examples. Sometimes we see tent sales up in the big stores, like over Memorial Day weekend. They would come in. If it's less than 3 days, the director would approve that over the counter. If they wanted a tent that was more permanent, they'd have to go to the Board of Adjustment and get a special use exception. With regard to special events, what it says is special events such as circuses or carnival grounds, and there's a list of other items, at a site and for a purpose different from the designated use and usual occupancy of the premises. And special events is defined herein with the duration not exceeding 3 days. If it doesn't exceed 3 days, it can be approved by the director. If it exceeds 3 days, it goes the conditional use route. And what's significant on that, and we'll come back to it, is the language at a site and for the purpose different from the designated use and usual occupancy of the premises. That comes back into what I was talking about with VFWs, American Legions, fire halls, churches, schools. Those sites are built with building permits, with halls in them. They're social gatherings or educational, religious. All those uses that happen in those buildings, because it's a part of the designated use and usual occupancy, it doesn't come under any of this special event information.
Is that based on the judgment of the director? I mean, we're saying general.
Well, ultimately, anything in the zoning code is going to be based on the judgment of the director. The whole code is that way because she is, by law, required to interpret it. But that's the code language, the designated use and usual occupancy. And like anything, if you apply for a building permit for a house, she and her office and staff are going to interpret what the zoning code says for setbacks. If you don't like it, you can go to the Board of Adjustment. There's always that possibility, but legally, that's how the whole code works.
Just on a procedure, so ultimately, would it be the director's final decision, or it would be, would there could be somebody else within the department that would make a decision other than Janelle?
No, it goes Board of Adjustment.
No, I'm talking about a decision within your department. Would a lower level person within the department make the decision or make the interpretation based on the application, or ultimately would you see them all and you would make the final decision?
They would come through me. I think there could be a potential that I could have a designee do that, look at them, but at the moment they have always historically come through the director.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I understand that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sophie, you go to the next slide. So this is the current county code, again, dealing with tents, and we're just, again, referencing the agricultural residential district, but again, this applies for every district with regard to tents. And it talks about a special use exception is required for tents for special purposes for a period exceeding 3 days. Again, it's limited to tented events, although that has evolved over time to include tent-like advertising, such as large blow-ups. I know, like around race weekend, for example, we see some of those things, or July 4th. If it's less than 3 days, the director can approve it over the counter. If it's more than 3 days, again, you have to go to the Board of Adjustment, which is a full application and a hearing and the time, and you know it's usually a couple or 3 months to get that through. If approved in this section, there's a three-event limit, so you get no more than three events under the tent section of the zoning code. And in the past, it's my understanding that the director required setup and tear down to occur within the 3 days, although there were some reasonable accommodations, but again, the code doesn't state this either way. You know, we've tried to work with that, even though, as I mentioned, it's not stated.
I believe the counselor here had already talked. We thought the miles would forget that. Didn't hear that, Mr. Burton?
What?
About the 3 days. When it had 3 days up, we could take off. They'd give an extra day, take it down, an extra day, put it up.
No, that's true, and that's but.
Didn't we already talk about that? I thought we had.
No.
Were you asleep during this meeting, George?
Yeah.
I sit here and heard it. So okay. I've never heard it said.
And we talk. I think we've talked casually about a number of issues that could possibly be addressed, and that may have been one. Yes, Sam.
Did you hear that, Mr. President?
We probably discussed that part of it. Yes.
So the next slide deals with the special events, and again, this just restates section 115-22 from the AR1 district. But keep in mind that this applies in the GRB1, CR1, C1, and M districts, and it restates that language that I read earlier. This is what is in our current code. It applies to a property where the event is different from the designated use or usual occupancy of the property. Again, that's how that's always been applied. If you're a place that is designated for a type of use or usual use, it doesn't come under the special event policy. Less than 3 days, again, if the event's less than 3 days, the director can approve the event administratively, like we've done in the past.
I got a question back to the VFWs and American Legion. On Route 24, I think the American Legion's had a circus. Now, the circus would probably fall into a category of special event. Would you?
I'm not sure how that's been treated in the past. I know, for example, Mr. Lank talked about a fire company, and it's in that memo, where they wanted to have sort of a, I don't know if it's a haunted trail or haunted house, mm-hmm. on property next door. And they went through the special event process at that time because it wasn't, you know, a haunted house is not part of the designated use and usual occupancy of a fire company, and it was on outside on property next door, and they got approved for 3 weekends, you know, so it went through that. So, you know, I don't want to comment on prior ones without going through the files.
No, I'm just saying, as we go forward, I would interpret, like we said that, you know, the building and everything were built to accommodate certain uses. Obviously, at the American Legion, a circus, or at the fire hall, a circus, or a carnival, some of those traveling carnivals, my opinion would be that construed as that would be a special event. Is that, how do you think we would address it as we go through this?
Yeah, I mean, again, with that, I would say that a circus or a carnival would require a special event.
Right, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That logically, I would come to, like, same with the haunted house, mm-hmm. or some of these other things. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it's, again, if it's less than 3 days, the director can approve it administratively. If it's more than 3 days, the applicant needs to go through the conditional use process, which again requires all the public hearings before both the Planning and Zoning Commission and you all. In the code, there's no limit on the number of times a three-day event could occur on a property, although the county has historically looked at the tent ordinance for guidance, and also applied the three-event limit that comes from that tent ordinance that we talked about a moment ago. And then recently, the county, because the code's not clear, the county has looked to accommodate people who've asked for more than three events, that's one of the things that's triggered this, is that the code doesn't say how many you're allowed to have on a property at any one time. The code also has no indications. We talked about whether set up and tear down as part of the 3 days. And there's frankly, there's no guidance given whatsoever to the director to decide whether to approve or deny any event that's less than 3 days. You know, that kind of goes back to that letter I referenced. It stated that the new ordinance places far too much discretion in the hands of the planning director. I think that's true with regard to the current code because it doesn't give any guidance. It says the director may approve a special events for 3 days, but it doesn't say what the director should consider, not consider, approve, deny. It's wide open for discretion, and that's one of the things we tried to correct with regard to this ordinance. And as I think the last statement on here, theoretically somebody could request 3 day events every weekend on a property and there would not be any guidance or clear basis in our current code whether to approve or deny them. So the next, we kind of went over some of this, historic application challenges. The two code sections, again, the tents and the special events, they've kind of been combined to develop a county practice. There's not any clear definition or guidance. There's not a real consistent application of the calculation of days per event or the calculation of setup and tear down. And that's a lot of what led to the consideration of a new ordinance that's before you. So this slide is titled New Ordinance Guidelines. I really think probably a better term would be New Ordinance Considerations, because these are kind of the things that we looked at in drafting this. As I mentioned at the beginning, one of the things that we tried to do is keep it simple and in line with what we currently have. Right now you can get a special event basically with a one-page letter. You come in, you apply over the counter, and it's approved, maybe that day or the next day, really simple. We tried to keep it that way. We didn't want to make a whole lot of rigmarole that you had to go through or steps or process or cost or time or anything like that. If you're a special event that falls within these guidelines, we want you to have it just like you do now.
So how much does it cost to do that?
At this point, there's no cost.
And there's no fees.
There's no fees.
Yeah. We've never had a fee.
Yeah.
You'd like to have one, Mr.?
I usually have one, but I asked it.
What we also did was we looked at some other jurisdictions just to kind of get a feel for what they did, and I will tell you that they are all over the place. Some don't allow it at all. We looked at Kent County. They require a temporary certificate of occupancy, and I didn't go so far in to see what that, inspections or whatever, process you got to go through to get a temporary CFO. In Kent County, you can't have it for more than 7 consecutive days, and you only get 14 days maximum in a year. Newcastle County, they only allowed 6 per year. Caroline County, Maryland, that requires for everything, it looks like a public hearing before the Board of Adjustment. So if you translate that to us, if you want a special event, if we did what Caroline County did, you'd have to apply, pay, $400, wait 3 months, have a public hearing, wait for the decision. That's not workable. We don't want to do that. And then Prince William County, Virginia was another example. There's a 21-day separation, and you don't get any more than 2 per year. So again, that was kind of some of the framework. We wanted to get a feeling for, in context, where we were with some of the other jurisdictions. We also recognize, number one up here, that no two events are the same. When you start getting into this, you quickly realize that you can't legislate every single event. They're all just so different. If you try to really do that, you quickly get bogged down in the weeds and you're back to creating processes for people that would take too long and are too cumbersome and everything else. So again, we tried to keep it simple, so that way everybody can utilize it, everybody understands it, including the county, the public, and the event holders. The other thing we talked about, and you've heard me say it, and I think some of you have, when does a special event stop being special? Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that because it's no longer special, it's banned or prohibited or anything like that. That just states what kind of permit you apply for. At that point, if it's something that's a more permanent use, then you're in the conditional use path, just like everybody else who has to apply for zoning. If it's something that is truly special and of a temporary nature, then you're back in, over the counter, no costs, getting approved in a day or two, and you're on your way. So again, I want to make it clear that just because it stops being special, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. And I wanted to give sort of an example. This is what came into play with the discussion, and I think it's an example that doesn't necessarily apply to anybody because it's a use that's in our code that nobody does anymore. Think about a drive-in theater or that type of facility. If somebody wanted to come in and operate under our special event ordinance, which we have now with no limit on the number of times you could do it, theoretically they could do it 8 weekends in a summer, you know, or whatever, you know, 4 or 5 weekends in a summer. How then do we justify that against the movie theater owner who went and built a movie theater with all of his building permits in a C1 zone or got a conditional use and went through that process when we have something that's essentially turned into a permanent use trying to utilize a special event path? You know, they should be using the same type of mechanism to get their approvals for their essentially permanent use that, you know, every other business owner that's doing the same thing with bricks and mortar should have to do. So that was part of the discussion. Again, not that we're trying to prohibit anything at all. It's just if it's something that's special and temporary, we want you to get it fast. But if you're trying to do something that's permanent, you've got to use the same mechanism and same process that everybody else does under the code. Again, straightforward and not complicated. There's a lot of subjectivity built in on purpose because, again, we don't want to prohibit anything. We want to give a lot of discretion so that these events can be approved when they're appropriate to be approved. Again, I mentioned it does not affect towns, events in towns and traditional events hosted by fire companies, churches, or community service groups. One of the things, too, I should explain this for the audience and you all. And this is getting into the weeds on the code a little bit, but when you read the code right now and somebody asks you, you know, tell me where it says that a special event for less than 3 days is permitted, if you go to the permitted uses in the AR1 section of the code, you won't find it there anywhere. It's not there. You have to actually go to the conditional use section of the code, go down to where it says special events, and then within that paragraph you realize that there's a carve-out for conditional uses that says if you're less than 3 days, it's permitted. So one of the things we did was clean that up and move it to the permitted uses section of the code so somebody can look and say, all right, well, I'm permitted if I meet all this. It's just logically where it's placed in the code. Now, it also clarifies setup and tear-down dates that they're not included. What it does is it also counts an event as an operational day. So the new ordinance considerations, these are things that we based on public feedback, council's directions, and the discussions we've had along the way, and also historic application of the current special event ordinance. And I want to state that none of these are what we call legally dispositive. In other words, it's not like you have to meet each one of these to get approved. These are just considerations that we wanted to put in the code so that people had some idea of the types of things that are going to be looked at. So that would be the number of participants, the location, the size of the parcel or parcels, the road capacity, operating hours, prior events, impact on the surrounding property, including noise, dust, smoke, or other nuisance-like factors, requirements of the Sussex County Special Event Public Safety Policy, which is incorporated in our code now. That's just a carryover from before. There will be a new application based on the final ordinance language, and what it does, as I said at the outset, it keeps authority where it currently is now with a director. What we didn't want to do was create some big process and force a whole bunch of steps on people and time and money. So again, it keeps it the same way that it is now in that regard.
Before you shift to that next page, share a little bit about your thoughts on the or other nuisance-like factors. That's pretty gray area, I would think.
No, that's true, and you know, so that was sort of one of the things we wanted to keep the whole thing a little bit gray, so that you know, the thought being that, as I mentioned on the prior slide, that you know, there's a lot of subjectivity in this, so that we can get people through and get them approved. That, you know, it was just sort of a catch-all that was added there, just to refer to things that we couldn't consider now that may come up. You know, so.
So I mean that's a really subjective. I could see whereas that would be a tough one. Some people would think it one thing is you know, problematic, and others think this is just what we do and how we do things and deal with it.
Yeah, no, that's understandable, and that's something certainly council can take a look at. I would contrast that with just for discussion's sake. that now the code doesn't outline anything that the director could consider. So, you know, it's totally wide open and subjective, you know. So we tried to, you know, give people just a little bit of an understanding of just these are the kinds of things that are going to be looked at, you know, so it wasn't just wide open and, you know, with no guidance or anything. So the next one, I'm not going to go through this. This is the, because we in the next slides we break it down, but this is the actual ordinance language for special events. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and read the whole thing or go through it. It's also on the website. But I will break it down on the next slide, so if we could go forward with that. So, again, breaking it down, it talks about special events such as circuses, carnivals, midways, promotional and tent sales events, fairs, festivals, concert rodeos, shows, races, walks, or any other event or mass gathering, which, again, that's basically what is currently in our code right now today. The next sort of phrase is being held outdoors or within a temporary structure or at a site and for a purpose different from the permitted use and usual occupancy of the premises or site. Again, that's very close to what's in the code right now, you know, and that takes into account all the things we talked about before with regard to fire halls, schools, film festivals, you know, in a school or, you know, or whatever, VFWs. And then the next sort of paragraph, such special events, which again are things that aren't already permitted, such special events may be administratively approved by the director or his or her designee when, in his or her judgment, the proposal will not impair the purpose or intent of the zoning ordinance and when the use is not so recurring in nature as to constitute a permanent use not otherwise permitted in the district and when the use will not significantly affect the surrounding properties. So again, that's the language that gives the director the authority to approve these special events, which is what the director has right now with that authority.
Quick question on that one is, if the director denies somebody for whatever reason, is there an appeal process?
There is. So, well, there's two routes you could go, depending on why it was denied. And it would be up to the individual to choose that. So, as to your question earlier, the director, by law, interprets the code, and anybody has the right to appeal that to the Board of Adjustment. So, and then from there, there's further appeal rights to court. So if you don't like that decision of the director, you could appeal it to the board. The other thing, and it would depend on the reasoning, I would say, too, because, you know, in both those cases, there's time involved, and if the event was denied because it was essentially becoming permanent or whatever the reason that was similar to that, they could also apply for the conditional use and get approved indefinitely, you know, for the type of events they want to do on that property. So there's sort of two possible paths there, depending on the situation.
None of which would be quick.
No, that's true, but at the same time, as I was using the example before, like if the director doesn't approve a survey on a house because it encroaches into a setback, I mean, that's a zoning code issue just like this. Likewise, if it's more than a foot, you've got to go to the Board of Adjustment, so you're right, and that's it. In every situation, it's not quick. There's not, by state law, there's not an escape valve that, you know, different from that.
Yeah, and then and again, conditional use, it would go through the P&Z process, right, and then
yeah.
Come before the council. So really,
yeah.
I mean, if there's a denial for whatever reason, I mean, it Board of Adjustment timeline would be probably, what, 4 months? I mean, I don't know.
It's 2 months at the moment.
Is that what it is, 2 months?
We're efficient, all right.
There you go. And then through the P&Z process, conditional use process, what are we backed up right now?
4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Before it gets to them or before it gets to us?
Before it gets to them.
And then it's another...
3 weeks.
3 months.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Usually, typically 3 weeks before between planning and county council.
It's months before it would get to this body.
And that's the same process for any type of application, for any...
Sure.
Determination if somebody wants to appeal that, or again back to a setback issue, that they would have to go through that process.
Okay, and one other quick question on that topic, and that would be typically in your experience up to this point, when somebody applies for this, what's the timeline on average, if you even know this, but when they apply versus when the actual event is? Is it like a month? Is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Is it 1 week? Is it 2 weeks? Is there a ballpark? Any idea?
It's all over the place. We've had applications realize they needed something the day before. We've had some a couple months ahead and some a couple weeks ahead. So it's all over the place as to when people make that application.
Okay. So that would also...
And that could be a reason, like a church or something, and somebody thinks somebody else is doing it, and then they look up and say, oh, we forgot to get the permit. And, I mean, I can see it when you've got an organization like that, and people are always assuming somebody else did it, and a lot of times they didn't do it. So, but we need to address it in this, that there needs to be a time frame. Most people can't put together a special event in a week or two. It takes a lot of organization. And so I don't know if, you know, if we start trying to make it too fast, I don't think speed's there, because like I said, just to do any of these events, you're talking months in advance, especially if they're volunteer organizations to get the right people and all this stuff in place. So, you know, we don't have to make it so fast that it's, you know, ridiculous, but we don't want to make it too long. I do agree with that.
And to Mr. Arlett's comment too, the part of the, you know, if I was wearing my applicant hat and representing that applicant, the discussion I would have would be, well, if what you're looking to do is something that you're going to do, you know, maybe a couple times a year for years to come, you know, at that point, the time frame of going the conditional use route may not be so consequential, because you'll get approved if, you know, you go through the public hearing process and you come out with approval on the other end. You've got the right to do what was approved indefinitely into the future, whether you own the property or somebody else does. So, you know, that's part of the balancing on which route you're going to go, recognizing that, you know, it's just going to depend on the circumstances.
Just to clarify one thing of Councilman Arlett's question, what you explained about if the director were to turn it down, the process of appeal to Board of Adjustment, or that is exactly what we do today.
That's exactly what we do today for this and for everything else. I mean, that's okay.
So that's not changing anything.
No, that's right. By Title IX. We're bound by that.
And also, that for how many years?
Oh, well, it's forever. You know, forever, but
that's a long time.
decades since zoning's been in place. So yeah, that's by Title IX and also our zoning code. Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. And honestly, I don't know that we'd even have the ability to change that, because that's in state law.
How many acres do you have to own before you have come in here and get all these permits?
We don't even give. You could have a half an acre, and you can come apply for it, and depending on what you want to do, you'll get approved.
How about doing 500 acres?
If you own 500 acres, you come in and
ask for permits.
You just come in like, well, give an example. Pumpkin Chunkin' with 50,000 people was 500 acres. That was a letter, and they got approved with a letter, and were on their way. You know, so, yeah.
And they did that once a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We went over this a bit, but this is the sort of the criteria or items that would be looked at. Again, none of these would stop an application from being approved, but just things to look at. The estimated number of attendees, the size of the parcel, the parking requirements of the special event, roads and traffic patterns, prior events conducted by the applicant, noise, light, odor, and dust, and also, Mr. Arlett, this is where that nuisance language is in, and the proposed hours of operation and number of consecutive days, and any other considerations that would be applicable. So then the third one is the director or his or her designee may impose conditions on an administrative approval, including hours of the event and maximum attendance. The drafted or introduced ordinance states that no more than 3 special events may be approved for the same property or premises during a calendar year. So you get 3 events a year under this ordinance, and each calendar day of a special event shall be counted as a separate special event, not including reasonable time for setup and tear down. There's certainly, I know from the discussions we had at planning and zoning and also here at council, there's several items that are of interest, but I would point out that probably the biggest variables in all this are the number of special events per year and whether each day of a special event counts as a separate special event. So it's the numbers. It boils down to numbers in a lot of this. So again, what's left as a result of this ordinance is two ways to get approved and have a special event, which is the director-approved event or the conditional use, and two ways to get approved for a tent, which is a director-approved tent or go the Board of Adjustment route for the tent. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions that you have. I know it's a lot of information, so you might have some questions on how this all works.
Any further questions from council?
Yeah, I think just for... To your point earlier, can you share, I think it's important for the relevance of the public, how did we get here today? I mean, in the end, we have been doing things a certain way all these years. And so the question is, I think you mentioned earlier that council had recommended to you, so how did we get here today?
And that may be partly me, partly Mr. Lawson, and maybe some other members of council as well. As the county, we're having more and more people apply for special events, it seems, though. I think one of the first ones that raised a question, and there were some Planning and Zoning Commission members, there was a rodeo on the western side of the county, that there were people concerned about the noise and the hours and how often it was happening and that sort of thing. There have certainly been others that we all know about, and we have some folks here, I'm sure, that are going to speak with regard to some of the other ones. But when we started looking at them, and it wasn't in relation to any one special event, it was more looking at what does our code say right now. I mean, that's where the focus shifted, not to an event, but, you know, how do we work with people who are applying for events with a code that's really vague? And that's what sort of led to all this.
But I mean, if I recall, did we have one complaint? Did we have two complaints? What were from the public? I mean, That's the question ultimately that I'd like to have answered is, what complaints do we have on record that led to where we are today?
I know we had some on the rodeo and also the concerts, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, I can state from my office, I have complaints that came in either by email or by telephone or by visit. I heard from members of council on this council regarding this issue of complaints they had received. And to also go towards what Mr. Robertson was saying, we were directed by council at some point while we stood in front of you analyzing this issue, and Mr. Robertson himself said at some point during a public meeting, if asked to defend this ordinance as written today, we would not be able to defend it. And I think that was one of the points of our...
just cleaning it up.
I think at that point we were given the direction to analyze this and come back with you with a recommendation for you.
So it's partly driven by some events and more events happening, you know, more recently, and also the occurrence of just they're getting bigger and the location and the lack of a good application or tracking of it. And I mean, there's a number of issues, and it's like so many other things, we just need to we need to update the ordinance and bring it into, you know, modern times, I guess, so we can have attorneys defend us if somebody steps out of line. So but right now it's like so many other things that need to be updated.
Mr. Wilson.
If I had more regulations, we could have more attorneys.
No, it's the same regulation. No.
So the same old
Sam, we've had this for 40 years. We're just updating it.
I don't think it's better since you came on council.
I've been on 32 years.
I think you're on part on it, George.
If I could, I think, too, this was an issue that was,
God, Sam,
regardless of events that happened in the past year or so, was one that was... we were going to be dealing with at some point. And to sort of point that out, we can go back to Mr. Lank's information he gave, because he talks about, during his tenure, one of the difficulties we found were applicants attempting to combine two or three sets of dates, i.e. 6 or 9 days in a row, rather than three separate events. These requests were denied. We had a few that were back-to-back weekend events. They were considered as individual events of not more than 3 days each. But again, you know, he was wrestling with what's the code say, even when he was the director. He also talks about the special event conditional use section is not clear whether it is limited to one request being permitted per year or any number of requests on a site. It can be read both ways. And he also talked about there was some uncertainty about the number of events that could be possible under the special events section. And what he was doing was going back and looking at the tent section that talked about three per year. But again, that's an interpretation that he was making, and you know, but that wasn't based on code. So I know there's a lot of, you know, sort of focus on recent events, but you know, you can see even from Mr. Lank's letter going back years that this is something that was the train was coming down the tracks on it, you know, for a while now. So.
What's over having the grandfathering?
So I explain to him grandfathering. He is a grandfather, and I don't think he understands sometimes what grandfathering is.
Well, there's really, with special events, because those are sort of one-off things, special events aren't really grandfathered. That's sort of a different
animal. And if you had an event that was going on prior to zoning, which was, what, 1974?
1969.
Yes. So if you had an event that had been occurring prior to that and has continued, you'd be grandfathered in.
Yeah, if you had a specific event.
You've got to go way back to be grandfathered.
And you kept doing that same thing.
Right. Yeah. So, Sam, grandfathering doesn't apply to any of this, right?
That means I can start my tractor at 4 o'clock in the afternoon if I want to.
You're a farmer. You can start that tractor anytime you want to.
Say like grandfather. In other words, don't matter how much noise I make. It makes a difference, right? I hear so many regulations out here being made. If I don't watch out, I won't be able to start late in the afternoon because we're using up our regulations, George. We've got to make more regulations.
Okay, Sam.
This ordinance does not regulate your tractor, Mr. Wilson.
Well, I'm glad you're not regulating farmers because you're starting eating. Right, George? I mean,
don't worry about George, Sam.
That's George, right?
Moving right along,
please.
Well, again, that sort of wrapped up our presentation.
I think we're all discussing. Let us know what the poor field's getting.
If there are no further questions from council, then we will open this.
Let me just run a few things just to see if you considered them, and if they did, if they are somehow involved in this document. But was there any concern about when it came to notifying all the agencies that would be involved in this event, that they're, you know, kind of a checkoff list? Now, we haven't developed any checkoff list at this time, right?
No, and I will tell you, Mr. Cole, unless that's the direction that a majority council wants to go, we didn't do that because, again, we wanted to keep it simple so that, you know, for people that want to do good events for Sussex County, they could come in just like they did in the past and get it and move on. So if there's, again, back to what I said at one point with trying to, you know, anticipate every type of special event, I don't even know that we would know necessarily what state agencies would be involved.
Obviously, well, we could determine those because the concern I have, when we started this special events 30, 40 years ago, whatever, the population of this county was very small, and we didn't have the residential growth that you do now throughout the county, all over the county. And an AR1 district is a residential district, so you have many subdivisions near large, you know, open fields at sometimes, and other even smaller parcels. So if somebody calls up and say, you know, what the heck's going on, we need, I think, to be able to provide information to the public. We've issued a permit, and with that permit, there should be some requirements that you know, you, the director, could say, well, here's how many people they're going to be. Is it a major impact or a minor impact? I mean, I would want to know as a neighbor. I think I'd want to know if there's going to be live music. You know, there needs to be things like that. I want to know if there's going to be liquor sold. Does the ABC have any permits or anything that they require, you know, or can this somebody just go out and get in the field and then just, you know, bring in some wagons and start selling beer and stuff? So should the health department be notified? Is the county held harmless? We've issued a permit. I'd love to know that. Are we held harmless if somebody gets hurt because we didn't ask for certain information? Is there enough porta potties? I know I heard one time somebody said they went to one of these functions. Maybe it was something here in Sussex County where they didn't have enough porta potties. And you want to talk about some mad people. That can stir you up. So we need to know that kind of things. And maybe parking. Are they going to be parking? Are they going to be parking on the public roads, right of ways? So where are they going to park? I mean, I think we need to know this information so when the public calls in, we've got some answers for them. It'd be nice to make it simple, easy, and quick. But again, when you have 250,000 people now in the county, it's not like when we had 50,000. It's a whole different ballgame, and I think it's time that we stepped up. And again, I'm concerned about a number of things, lighting, music, number of people. There ought to be a major impact and a minor impact type. Minor impact, you know, a couple hundred people, you know, we shouldn't care too much. Make it quick. But then when it comes a major impact, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to be upset if they start, it's not posted, all of a sudden they look up and here comes the weekend. And, I mean, we don't even post these sites. Should they be posted? I think they should. ADA, there's another one. Everything's got to be ADA compliant. Are we permitting concerts that aren't ADA compliant and somebody sues the county or whatever because we didn't require it? I just think it's getting, the world is so, you know, different nowadays that this is the time to come up with an application that we get good information. So if the public calls in or if there's a problem after the fact, we've got some answers for them. And I don't think just trying to make it quick and easy is the right way to do it. So especially for things that would be major impact versus a minor impact. And I think we need to distinguish between the two. So.
I'll answer that by saying what's proposed now doesn't do that.
I know it.
So that's a council decision to do. And I will just say what, Mr. Cole, you've essentially said, and this is for council's consideration, is now you've taken it from something that's simple, even relatively simple, and basically made it like you're going to build a building. You know, you've got site plan review, you've got to go through county engineering, every single state agency. At that point, you know, I don't know that it's special anymore. So again, that's a council decision.
Well, I don't know about engineering part and things like that, but I do think that if they're going to have maybe 3,000 people, I'd like to know if my kids were going to go to it. Is there going to be appropriate security there? Are there going to be are the state police involved? DelDOT ought to be. If it's again, how are they dumping this traffic out on our roads? I mean, are they just popping out anywhere? And is it on a Saturday night and they're popping out everywhere or Saturday afternoon? I just think we're shortchanging the people who have bought and live and have called Sussex County their home. They should have a priority in this, not the guy who's coming in for 3 days. I think that if we're going to weigh, you know, our decision and to protect somebody, we need to protect the homeowners that live and the property owners that live adjoining it. And so I think that without having some of this stuff in a permit, where they said, you know, there's going to be 20 portable potties or something. There's going to be trash collection at the end, after it's over, we want to make sure that they clean the site. What if we have a guy that comes in and just leaves, you know, the trash that they dropped everywhere, all over the place, and then the neighbors start complaining? What do? We have nobody to go back to. We ought to have documentation from the applicant that it's their responsibility to clean the site.
So that currently happens. The letter, or at least in the past, I don't know about currently, but I know with, like, for example, the ones I've seen from Mr. Lank, and I assume it's the same, you know, the letter would state that you need to be sure that you get all agency approvals, and it probably states that you got to return the site to how it was, and that would be one of the factors that's in this code is prior events. You know, if the site was left a mess and there was trash blowing everywhere and whatever, that would be something that would be taken into account the next time you applied.
And I mean, the other thing is there's also charity, there's the churches, the VFWs, et cetera, like that, and then there's the for-profit. And I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, why am I bending over backwards if it's a for-profit operation to come in there to, you know, that we don't require them to do all this. The regular restaurant or the bar down the street has all kinds of responsibilities and licenses and under scrutiny all the time with ABC. In other words, I can't imagine we just have some event and nobody knows that, you know, if there's alcohol being served, because I think at Pumpkin Chunkin' there was some issues with alcohol. I don't know if ABC, you know, has anything to do with that, to give any kind of permit to have alcoholic beverage sales on this site for those 3 or 4
they
days.
They do. If you're selling, they have authority over that.
I don't know.
It's different types of permits, but yeah.
And we've actually.
But do we know if they've got the permit? That's the thing. I don't know if we.
Well, but we don't regulate alcoholic beverage sales.
I know, but
sales.
We need. I'm not saying we regulate it. They just check off a box that they got the permit. They're permitted to do it.
So I guess my question would be, well, if they don't, then what? You know, if they checked it off and they didn't have it, then what do we do? You know,
well,
you know.
That's, I was reading through some other counties, coastal counties, where have, you know, resort areas, and they're concerned about their county, about lawsuits. So, I mean, somebody's going to go after somebody. And again, if we give our blessing to this without a lot of things, and it's going to look like we're negligent. The county was negligent and not, you know, at least asking some basic, simple questions. So, I don't know about you attorneys, but I would think that would be should be a concern.
Let me reiterate what Vince said earlier. The ordinance as presented, as introduced, what's in front of you right now, does not have a lot of the considerations Mr. Cole is speaking of. And we will certainly go in a different direction if we change the ordinance to include that. That's your wishes. We need 3 people to give us that direction today or at a future date, if those are things that you want to do.
Well, there should be at least a conversation on some of those things and how important they are. If 5 of us think, or 3 of us, or whatever number you want to do it, don't think it's important. But I'd love to hear it on record why they don't think that having. To know that, like, again, one of my kids attended, you know, some of these things, and I'd like to know. I have no idea if there's any state police there or any kind of police, maybe even a private security force, anything. And I just heard from one of them, like, there was the lack of bathrooms. Everybody was ready to riot on that. So, anyway, I just think it's we're short changes, or we'll be back. That's all. Sorry.
Any other questions?
Just one question, if I may, and then one comment. And I think in reference to Mr. Cole's point, I think when this was first up for discussion a few months ago, I think that was something that was discussed briefly, just, you know, safety factors. I think nobody would disagree with that. I think the question is, how far down the path do you go, and how far in the weeds do you go? I mean, it appears it could be just an internal department form that's determined there, not so much here. So that's a comment. So the other question I have before we get into the actual hearing from the community, and that is, you made reference already to some of the, you know, VFWs, fire halls, et cetera, whereas they're not included. How does the community know if they fall into that or not? I guess my point is it based on nonprofit? Or what is the basis? Again, you've heard some examples, but can you explain to me what is the basis for those that are included in this ordinance and those that are not included in this ordinance?
So, Mr. Arlett, it doesn't have anything to do with nonprofit or for-profit. What it talks about is whether the purpose is different from the designated use and usual occupancy of the premises. You know. It just happens, the ones I think we've been all talking about are charitable or nonprofits. You know, I mean, a school sort of neither. But, you know, they have auditoriums that they're built for, you know, community use as well as school, and that would be a purpose that's the same as the designated use and usual occupancy of the premises. So that wouldn't require a special event application. So, you know, I mean.
But do you understand my question?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
if you're
just
sitting out in this audience, if you're listening to this
how
tape,
you know?
If you're, how in the heck are you going to know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ultimately, I guess, the question is, how do you know if you fall into this requirement or do you not?
You make a phone call to her office and she'll answer the question.
At well, some discretion.
Difficult.
That's the part that I'm concerned about, is that what discretion is being used to make that determination based on the normal use? Well, fire halls, their normal use is to go put out fires, right? I mean, it can get really dicey.
Not necessarily. They lob
hat halls. But my point, no, I get the fundraiser part. I get all that. Okay. But there's other organizations that could be used the same premise, and that's my point, is that there are other organizations that could use that exact same premise, but you just said it's not referenced to nonprofit or for-profit. So how does the community determine, or how does the judgment of the director or somebody else that's designated make the determination if they fall into this or not?
So that would be the same as virtually any use in the zoning code. You know, like if you've got something that you want to do in the commercial zone, and I can't think of something off the top of my head, but that, you know, is not exactly listed word for word in what's permitted in a CR1 district, the director is going to make that decision, you know. And so you're kind of, everybody in the county's legally on notice of what the zoning code says. I know that's a legal answer and, you know, not an easy one, but, you know, that's how it works. You'd have to call and find out. You know, we haven't, frankly, been in the business of violating people over the years either, you know, so we just try to make people aware of it so that they can get into the correct approval path along the way.
Mr. Robertson, would it be correct that the VFW's American Legion's places such as that are for social gatherings, and that is how come that, in your opinion, since social gatherings, get-togethers are permitted, that is the normal use of their property, and as a normal use of their property, they can continue to do these type of events because it is in the normal use, where if you take a farm field's normal use is for agriculture, or so that's why they would need a special use exception.
Or special event.
Event, I'm sorry.
I think that's accurate because that's how it's been interpreted, you know, certainly in the 15 years I've been here, and even before that with Mr. Lang, you know, and whoever was before that going back. So, yeah, that's correct. And that part of the code hasn't changed from what's in our code now to what we've proposed.
Any further questions from council? If not, it is...
I need to get a few things into the record.
Oh, yes.
Since the Planning Commission held a public hearing, we received three letters that had stated concerns about the ordinance, and we also received an exhibit that had over 1,800 comments, but that was a very site-specific application site. So I just wanted to make sure those were into the record, and then everything from Planning Commission is now also part of the record.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, now is the time to open this up for any members of the public that would like to speak. And if you